And good day to everybody here who's listening, and thank you for joining me, Ben Calder, here at the Centre for Integral Health and on my channel here for Integral Patterning and Life Force Qigong. And I'm joined here today with Hilary Stock, who is a psychosynthesis therapist. Hilary, hello, and thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Ben. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, real pleasure. And it's really exciting for me to be able to have a conversation with you about the psychosynthesis, because a couple of years ago, I was lucky enough to do 15 weeks of training with Pierre Latuada, who is a big integral transpersonal psychologist from Italy and very involved with the transpersonal psychology movement out there, and I'm very involved with Assagioli's work, which I know is a massive part of the psychosynthesis work. So it's really kind of nice to have a chat with you today as well. So please, maybe if you could just start telling us a little bit about what psychosynthesis is.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Assagioli there, Roberto Assagioli, and he basically started it, if you like, early in the 20th century. He was he and Carl Jung, I think, were contemporaries. And it grew out of psychoanalysis, so Freud, originally. But where I would say it diverges is that it very much acknowledges that there's a future, there's potential. It doesn't just dig into the past and all sort of murky kind of primal stuff and childhood stuff. It does look at the past, and it does acknowledge, you know, that whatever happened to us in childhood definitely has a bearing on the way we develop. But it also looks for potential and seeing that there's opportunity in crisis or trauma or whatever the problem is that somebody brings, that usually that holds something for them, and that rather than pushing the problem away or being in denial about it, that if we stay with it and we really look deeply into it, then it holds some kind of treasure for us in a way that takes us to seeing kind of more of who we really are and what our what the purpose and meaning of our life path is. So that's sort of in a nutshell.
Sure. And a beautiful way to be able to put it, that there's a treasure in there, and you know, from that point, that treasure is then the richness that leads us into a future. And nice to hear that it's not just about the kind of the old grim stuff from the past.
Yeah, there's something about the old grim stuff or the problem or that whatever it is that somebody's bringing when they come for therapy. And usually, well, not always, but often it's when they're at some kind of crisis point or, you know, things are really not good, something's breaking down in their lives. And rather than kind of dismissing that or seeing it as negative, and often it is a very difficult thing that they're struggling with, but it's like, what's trying to emerge here? You know, what is this? What's trying to be born out of this? And usually there is something. It means that some part of that person's psychological makeup, if you like, is no longer serving them. It might have been, say, a defence mechanism that they developed as a child to sort of defend themselves, maybe in the playground if they were bullied or something like that. So they get defensive or they react in certain ways to somebody. And then unconsciously, as they move through life, they do that when they meet certain sorts of people. They'll react defensively when actually the person didn't mean the men wasn't attacking them, as it were. So it's kind of peeling back those defences and noticing what works for the person and what maybe no longer works, but is actually sort of hindering them and stopping them being who they could be and realising their potential.
It reminds me a little bit of one of the aspects in integral theory that we look at, where we're looking at stages of development in our lives, and the first part of a change into a new stage is a dissolving of the exclusive identification we have with the current place we're in.
Yes.
So there's something about it that then stops being okay.
Yeah.
And then we, you know, it's almost like there's a bit of turmoil and a bit of movement in our systems, and we need to kind of change and translate up into a new level.
Mm. It's interesting you used the word identification there, or identify, because that's quite a big part of psychosynthesis. So Asagioli used a phrase, this might not be a direct quote, it's a paraphrase, but basically we are controlled by that with which we are identified.
Mm.
And we can be in control of that from which we disidentify ourselves.
Sure.
So that's kind of, to put that in kind of layperson's language, that you get caught up in different behaviour patterns or identification. So you think you're this, and actually that's kind of just content, you know, you're more than that. And when you step away from that or disidentify, you acknowledge it first, you say, yeah, this is going on for me right now, I'm doing this, and I might think that's who I am, but then I step away from it, it's like, well, actually I'm also this, I'm more than that. And it becomes about, as you become aware of these different behaviours or personality traits, sub-personalities, we use the name, we can notice them, accept them, recognise them, accept them, and then with acceptance comes the choice, really. Do I want to still do that, do I want to step away and use some other skill or part of myself that may have been buried?
Sure, yeah.
You know, the bits we sort of suppress in childhood because they weren't acceptable. Maybe things like playfulness, maybe things, or maybe kind of anger. Anger's a big one that people, I get a lot of people coming who have just not acknowledged anger, or have, you know, it wasn't desirable, so that you push it down, you don't express it. And I mean, depression is literally means pushing down, and what's being pushed down are emotions like anger.
I mean, as you know, I do my shadow workshops a couple of times a year as well, and you know, we're very much involved in that, at looking at the parts of ourselves that we've considered as unacceptable, undesirable, and acknowledging those, and the value that, you know, even things like our creativity, you know, our skills, our positive attributes that we then are impoverished from accessing and being able to use because in some way, shape or form we've considered them as not okay. And is that something that kind of within the psychosynthesis you kind of look at some of the shadow elements within people?
Definitely,
as well?
Definitely, so there's a sort of a map of the personality, if you like, that Asagioli devised, and the bit you're aware of, if you like, the sort of middle unconscious, is the things that were acceptable and the behaviours that you are aware that you do, and then the lower unconscious, like, you've, are things that have been pushed down. So anger might be one, shame, vulnerability. And then the higher unconscious, the qualities that you may have also pushed away, like playfulness, perhaps, or I can't think of any others.
Yeah, like our artistic abilities.
Like creativity, things that maybe you weren't encouraged in, or somebody made fun of you when you were five and you stood up and sung a song or something.
Sure.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, that's...
And it's amazing how many people... have this, like, such a strict identification with who they are, and certainly in terms of their role or their work or something like that, I am this, I am that. Like, there's not the capacity to be multiple things as well.
And one way I do work with clients is that and especially when I'm looking at the work with them, not necessarily with them in the room, but I notice all the things that they identify with, and they'd say, I'm this, I'm that, and I'm thinking, well, what are you not, or what are you saying?
Sure,
so you look
yeah.
at the polarity, you know, you look at the opposite, and those are the things that have you been sort of denied, and actually might really hold something for that person.
And there's so much richness in some of those possibilities, and for fear or for whatever reason, it's amazing how often people deny, well, I can't do that, I can't be that, I couldn't do that.
And it doesn't feel safe because it's because they're so set in that view of themselves that being the opposite feels like the unknown and the impossible. But actually, when you go over that edge, it opens up a huge amount for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be really transformational.
And I suppose part of the nature of psychosynthesis is just you facilitating that space to explore that with people as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that can be through talking, and mostly often is, but I do use some quite creative techniques within that, when it's appropriate for the client. And that might include dialoguing with a part of themselves. So, we use imagery and symbolism, and that they might draw, say, their anger or whatever, and sit it on a chair and talk to it, see what it wants. And, which kind of sounds a bit wacky, but those things are quite powerful. Also guided imagery and visualizations, taking them on a bit of an inner journey in the imagination. Again, it's words can be useful up to a point, but when you're working with the unconscious, image is really, really powerful. Yeah.
And actually, it sounds really exciting, the idea of drawing my anger, putting it on a chair and asking it what it wants, you know. Like my whole being just went, wow, what a great idea. Yeah. If I don't know what my anger wants, might as well just ask it.
Yeah.
You know? So again, even in that moment, you know, and for anybody listening in on this today, I can't tell you just how that suddenly opened a whole window in me. So just in the moment of that kind of facilitated a shift in my head and went, wow, that was beautiful.
Oh.
Yeah, what a great idea.
Did you notice a change in your body as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, so lighter, more expansive. Suddenly there was more energy flowing in it. So, you know, it's incredible that just such a simple suggestion, you know, can have an immediate
response.
It can
be very freeing.
Yeah, sure.
And yes, and also I would say another feature is that we work a lot with the body and the connection between body, feelings and mind.
Yeah.
Because they are all very linked.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know if you'd agree, but I think that a lot of the view of therapy, if we put talk therapy into a kind of space, is that it is all about mind and it seems not always to have a full integration of what that response in the body, which is so married and can never really be separated, but is so often unacknowledged.
Yeah, and there's that sense that a lot of emotions and feelings are felt in the body, you know, gut
yes.
feelings, you know, and so anxiety you might feel in your chest or your throat, and so it's listening to the body, and even if you can't articulate a feeling, it's like, well, let's go to what's happening in your body and then take it from there.
Yeah.
There is a bit of a focus on mind, or maybe that there's a perception out there that it's all about what's going on in your mind, but it's so much more than that.
And I think some people believe that they don't have the intelligence to be able to analyse, or, you know, they might not be able to find, like you say, the words, but there are other ways of them working with that.
Yeah, other ways of accessing that.
Yeah. So what got you into this in the first place? Can you tell us a little bit about your journey into psychosynthesis and what kind of attracted you to it?
I'll say a little bit, yeah. I've worked most of my career as a musician, and that involves quite a lot of travelling, and also, you know, you get to know your colleagues quite well because you spend a lot of time on buses and airports and things.
Sure.
And it was just a few years back, somebody said to me, "Oh, you're a good listener. Have you ever thought about being a counsellor?" And I had one or two musician colleagues who were counsellors, kind of as well. And then I didn't really think about it for a while, and then a few years ago, I did start to think about it, and it was kind of midlife, and it was just after a significant bereavement, and I thought, well, if I'm going to do something else, maybe now's the time. And I just looked up courses and stuff, and it wasn't really on my radar. I hadn't had therapy myself.
Sure.
But I looked up and I talked to people, and I happened to be working in London, doing some concerts down there, when there was an open day at the Psychosynthesis Trust, and I went along and I just felt very kind of at home with it all. I did also do an introductory course to person-centred therapy, because I thought that'd be interesting to look at too. But it was the Psychosynthesis that really called me, and I think it, there's something about it's a much more holistic model.
Yeah.
So it's body, soul, mind, spirit, the whole package, if you like. It's kind of more inclusive.
Yeah.
So there was that aspect that, that really appealed to me. And yeah, I liked the people I met there, and I felt it was a very eclectic training.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the trainers had trained with Asad Yirli himself, so it's like there's a direct kind of line from him, and that was really inspiring, actually.
Yeah.
And there were different themes throughout the training and delivered by different people, so again there were lots of different contributions coming in, different ideas, and that's the other thing about Psychosynthesis, it's not kind of set in stone, it's not as Asad Yirli set it up from the beginning, but he saw it as something that would be constantly evolving, so it's and it is really.
Yeah. And I suppose in the process of the training as well, you're going through those methods in a way that they relate to you as well. And
yeah, very much so. And in the first year, I suppose I also approached it with a kind of curiosity that I don't know that this is necessarily going to be the right thing for me. Am I going to end up being a counsellor? I don't know. The first year was a foundation year,
yeah.
And that was, it did have some elements of counselling training in it.
Sure.
But it was very much kind of looking at your own stuff and your own personal development and your history and learning about yourself, really. And as part of that, you had to be in personal therapy with a psychosynthesis therapist.
Yeah.
And that was such an eye-opener for me. As I said, I hadn't been in therapy before, and I probably wouldn't have been if I hadn't gone that route.
Sure.
But it made me think, well, actually, everybody should have this. It's great, you know, because there's something about being really heard and understood for the first time and accepted for who you are, as all of who you are, that's really, really healing, you know.
And I guess that's a really interesting point that you've drawn out there, is that I think a lot of people think that they go to therapy because there's been a crisis or a major problem, and not necessarily seeing it as a way just to find a deeper relationship with themselves or more fullness in their lives.
Yeah, no, that's very much what it's about. It's coming into relationship with the different parts of yourself, finding out what some of them are to start with.
Yeah, sure.
And when that's being reflected to you from a an experienced therapist within a relationship. I mean, the therapeutic relationship is the cornerstone of the whole thing, really. And in a way, I would say that's it doesn't really matter what your therapeutic approach is, because in all cases, it's that relationship that is the most important part of it, really.
Yeah.
So that's important when you meet a new client as well. It's like, well, I always say to them, the most important thing is that you should feel comfortable with me, and you might find it's not a good fit. And certainly when I went to look for therapists as part of the training, we were advised, you know, try two or three and see who you feel the most at ease with, and that was very good advice.
And I think that's something that a lot of people sometimes don't have the confidence to do as well, isn't it? Is go in and, you know, have those initial conversations and see how that, you know, because we're entering into some quite deep and some quite personal and sometimes some quite vulnerable spaces with people, aren't we? So
it's really important that the client should feel safe and comfortable, and usually the first few sessions are about building trust.
Yeah.
And that does take time. Having said that, you know, when I found my therapist, I did feel at ease pretty much from the outset. I felt that she really got me in a way that nobody else ever had.
Yeah.
So I knew I found the right person.
Yeah.
And I think usually towards the end of the first session, you know, and what I usually say to people is, let's agree to meet for 6 sessions and then have a little review. And there's absolutely no problem if they then decide it's not for them, or And then, but if they do continue, then it's open-ended and we go at their pace and we review the work quite often and just to make sure they're getting what they want from it.
Yeah. And I think that's sometimes a fear that keeps people from entering into something like a therapeutic relationship in that way, or certainly within something like psychosynthesis as well, is that I think they're concerned that they're going to be told what to do and how to be.
Oh yeah, no, it's not about telling people what to do. It's not about kind of fixing them or being very prescriptive. There is an element of directiveness in the sense that the therapist does facilitate what happens in the session up to a point. So it's not like you're leaving everything to, you're not following the client around.
Yeah.
But you're hopefully providing a space where you're helping them to see what their choices are, and then it's kind of up to them. But
and also having the courage, I guess, to ask the questions that they might not want to ask themselves, and having a space for them to just be with whatever's coming up.
Yeah, yes, there's certainly something about giving them the space, and there's, and you meet them with a balance really of empathy and challenge. They're both important. Mm. But if you just sort of concentrate on the empathy side of it, then there tends to be, after a while, no movement. So sure. there is an element of directiveness and of challenge, just to encourage them to notice.
Yeah.
Maybe how they're responding or how they're relating, and to make them aware of it, and then so then they have a choice.
Yeah.
I mean, they might come and say, you know, they might be worried about something or angry about something or complaining about something and feel trapped in it, but at the end of the day there is always a choice. It's kind of seeing that there's a choice and saying, actually I can step out of that if I want to.
Yeah. And that's that difference about not just being there as a pair of ears to hear the repetition of the story that you know they tell about why things are the way they are and what's happened, but actually to try and generate a change so that, again, like you say, the future is not about just looking at the past, but that future of possibility and what they could move into if they want it.
Yeah. Now, another big part of psychosynthesis is engaging the will. So the will's quite important, and it's the idea that you've got choice. Once you can engage the will, you can move forward. But certainly it's not about telling the client to do that.
And do you find a lot of people are unaware of that choice and are disconnected from that part of their will?
I think often happens to all of us, we get caught in these patterns of behaviour, or we get sort of trapped in these views of ourselves where we might always constantly feel that we're a victim, and it's always things that happen to us and we can't do anything about it, when you're caught up in that, it feels as though that is the case, but there's something about being able to step out of that and finding, actually, no, I do have choices here. I could say no to that person. I could stand up to this person. You know, but it's getting the client to a place where they feel that they're able to do that. And a lot of clients, when they come first, they aren't, and they need the empathy and the support and the listening and the sympathy and yeah.
But that's not where it ends.
There's then work to be done.
And that's such a beautiful balance. And again, in my own reading, you know, I've read some of Acigioli's work, and you know, really appreciate the fact that there's both sides to that in there, and that, you know, okay, this is great. This is where you've been. This is where you are. But now what?
Yeah. And again, there's a great quote, very simple quote from Acigioli: out of the past, into the present, towards the future.
Yeah.
That's how he saw psychosynthesis, really, as a moving forward thing.
Yeah. And so for a lot of people, and certainly if they've come across counselling and psychotherapy via their GPs or kind of more obvious routes, they'll have often been referred to CBT as a therapy. So How would you kind of differentiate between the two, and you know, so that people can understand a little bit, well, why don't I just go and get CBT from my GP? Mm. Why should I come and do something such as psychosynthesis?
I would say that there are some similarities in that CBT works very much, as I understand it, with the relationship between behaviour, emotions and mind, thoughts, and the way these things are connected. And psychosynthesis does have that too. And I would say, I mentioned just a few moments ago the will, and I would say will work in psychosynthesis is quite similar in a way to CBT. So it's kind of having a strategy and moving through things and kind of getting on top of stuff in a way that makes life work for you. Where psychosynthesis differs, or what it has kind of more than that, is that if somebody comes to me for psychosynthesis, A, it'll be probably, well, more than six sessions, which CBT, I think, standard is usually not very many sessions. It might be 6 or 12, I think. We would work in an open-ended way, and we would work not just with the problem, so finding coping strategies to work with that problem, but we go underneath the problem. You know, why is it there in the first place? What's the wound, if you like? That's because I find that yes, you can encourage somebody to behave in different ways, but if whatever it is that's causing the unhappiness in the first place is not addressed, then it's going to pop up in some other way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably. So and not everybody's ready to do that deeper work.
Sure.
But when there has been trauma and childhood trauma, then often it is a matter of going back to that and doing some real depth work, and that takes time.
I love that, Hilary. That sounds amazing. And you know, for me, psychosynthesis and the kind of the transpersonal work is something that would always be my go-to space, you know, for talk therapy and for working in that kind of integrated way.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody's interested in learning more and in coming to see you and starting to look at some of the things that they think could be helped by your approach, how can they get in contact with you?
Well, I'd say either through the Centre for Integral Health website, and there's a link to my website on there, or directly through my website, which is aspencounselling.co.uk. They can have a look on there and see whether they like that kind of approach and how the process starts, you know, which would be that if they think they'd like to give it a try, then they come for an exploratory session and we see how it is to work together.
Yeah. And there's things like contact form and telephone number on there, so
there's
if people want to ask some questions.
Yeah, there's a contact form, there's my email and phone number. So,
And we'll put links to those in the script for the interview. So if you want to link directly into the Centre for Integral Health here in Shrewsbury or to Hilary's website, Direct Aspen Counselling, then you'll find the links in the description for the interview below. Hilary, thank you so much for coming in and talking to me today. It's been really enlightening. And I actually feel more energised and feel more open just from having the conversation as well. So I'm really grateful for that.
That's wonderful, Ben. Thank you very much for having me. It's
no
a
problem.
Pleasure.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And everybody who's listening, hope you all have a great day as well. I hope this has been really useful and informative for you. And if you do have any questions, you can get in contact with Hilary via the links in the description. Have a great day, and I hope that you continue growing towards something even more beautiful than what you have now. Take care.